Our first scripture this morning is from 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, who can govern this great people of yours?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you."
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. I'm going to commit heresy today. I'm not the first Christian to be a heretic. Definitely not the first preacher to be a heretic. Certainly not the first Baptist preacher to be a heretic. No, Smith and Helwes were the two that started, and I got to look up my history. One of those guys ended up dead for his beliefs. They were treated as heretics. And as far as I know, I'm the only person who ever said what I'm about to say, as far as I know. I might have heard it somewhere and just think I invented it. I don't know. I can't remember anyone else having the temerity to say the heretical thing that I'm about to say, but I will say it. So sharpen up your pitchforks. Make sure your torches are pre-lit. Warm up the tar, pile up the feathers, get the horses out and prepare to have me drawn and quartered. Solomon asked for the wrong thing. There, I said it. Solomon asked for the wrong thing. It's not that he asked for a bad thing, but there was something better he could have asked for. All right, I've said it. Now come and take me away. Ha ha, ho ho, hee hee. But first let me explain myself. Solomon asked for the wrong thing. In the passage that Ellen read, young Solomon, having received the burden of being coming king, asked God for wisdom. Truly, it was a great burden, suddenly becoming powerful. Just a kid, and then suddenly powerful. Other people have experienced such a sudden bequest of power. Harry Truman was in the news this week. This was marked the 70th anniversary of the war that never ended in Korea. They commemorated the truce, whatever you call it, the 70th anniversary of that truce, by unveiling a 14-foot statue. He wasn't the tallest man in the world, but he's a 14-foot statue now in Korea, because he made the crucial decision in 1950 to enter that conflict and stop the North Koreans from pummeling the South. On April 12, 1945, when Truman was sworn in suddenly as President of the United States, after the unexpected death of Franklin Roosevelt, Truman appeared before reporters. Now remember, Truman had been a dirt farmer for 11 years of his life. And over a little over 20 years before, he was in that kind of state of affairs. And he had rose to power steadily over those 20 years. And then suddenly, in one heartbeat, he becomes the most powerful man in the world. And predictably, to express those feelings, he used agricultural imagery to describe his feelings to the reporters. I don't know if any of you fellows have ever had a load of hay or a bull fall on you, but last night, the whole weight of the moon and the stars fell on me. He paused for a long time. If you newspaper men ever pray, pray for me. Young Solomon was feeling much the same burden. And his father had been a much loved king for 40 years. Not perfect by any means, but much loved. A man after God's own heart. And Solomon mentioned just how much God had shown love to him and had loved David. And after that death, after that sad death of David, Solomon, feeling like the moon and the stars had fallen on him, prayed, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this great people of yours?" And scripture says this is why it's heresy. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. So what's wrong with his request? God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I will now do according to your word, and indeed I'll give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has ever been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you." And God kept that promise. And Solomon became richer and shrewder than anyone before or since in that kingdom. And it's believed that some of his wisdom entered into the so-called wisdom literature, including the Song of Songs and Proverbs. Even Psalm 72 is attributed to him. "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness." May he defend the cause of the poor of the people and give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures as long as the moon throughout all generations. And truly, there was no greater king in Israel because of all this. So where do I get the right to suggest that Solomon could have asked for something better? And I submit to you the passage that I read this morning, Romans chapter 8. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What's missing from Solomon's request? Well, I've already committed heresy. I might as well bring out a four-letter word. What four-letter words missing from Solomon's request? L-O-V-E, love. Love, exciting and new. All you need is love, yet yeah, da-da-da-da. All you need is love, yet yeah, da-da-da-da, right? I was thinking about maybe having you all join in. Solomon asked for wisdom, and that's great. And God makes it plain there's other things he could have asked for that would have been far worse, like vengeance, like money, like a long life. There are worse things that Solomon could have asked for. But he didn't ask for love. And what happened to him with all that wealth and all that wisdom? What did he become known for? 700 wives, 300 concubines. And his history was that he began to not only marry outside of his culture, which God had forbidden him to do, he married people with false religions, and he began to turn and follow those false religions. He became a polytheist in a monotheistic kingdom. And so by the time he was done with his life, he was not the king of Israel, united Israel anymore, because he had all the wisdom in the world, but he lacked the one thing that could have made that wisdom useful. He lacked love. And so he went out looking for love in all the wrong places. Johnny Lee. When one wife wouldn't satisfy his need for love, Solomon went after another and another. And then chose a woman from another kingdom, and then from another culture, and then from another religion, and then began practicing that religion, and another religion, until all the wealth of the greatest kingdom in United Israel's history was just dissipated, and the kingdom was torn asunder, never to reunite again. All for the love of God. For the love of God. That's what he should have asked for. Tell me, is that really heresy? That there might have been something better to ask for? The love of God? I mean, wisdom is nice. But without love to guide it, you end up with atomic desolation. Wisdom without love leads to poisoned water in Flint, Michigan. Wisdom without love, ironically enough, leads to Love Canal. The disasters are well known of times when people had smarts but didn't have love guiding their actions. And people do this all the time. They do what they think is right in their own eyes, and they don't let love be their guide. And I'm not just talking about the romantic, smoochy, smoochy love of middle school students. I'm talking about the love of God that Solomon could have asked for. He even referred, as he made his request, he remembered how much God had loved his father David and how much love there had been in his heart. And he didn't ask for it. It never occurred to him to think, I'd like that much love too. Yeah, I'd like to be wise, but I need that love that guides all knowledge and wisdom. Otherwise, it is worthless. All right, he made a mistake. Haven't we all made mistakes? Well, there's hope for you and me and everybody who chose wisdom over love. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 4 says that God is love, and therefore God finds the substance of God's own being in love. So if you ask for more God, you're asking for more love. If you seek first the kingdom of God, you will have more love. And if you lack love today, maybe you know a lot of things, but you just lack love. And I'm not talking about companionship today. I'm talking about the love of God. If you lack love today, you ask. This is what believers have done for time going back forever. And God is there, ready to give you the love that you need. God wanted to give that love to Solomon. As Thomas Merton wrote, the one desire that is infallibly fulfilled is the desire to be loved by God. All right, the heretic is done talking. Break out the pitchforks and the torches. But whatever you do, remember, do it in a loving way. Amen.